got this run, right, of this basically semi-privately held company in Seattle, Washington area. What made you think it's a good idea to change the business plan of what we've been doing for the past almost 100 years? And I mean, obviously it was a good call, right? But at the time, how did you know that that was a good idea?
You know, we said, no, this was not the plan. And it's really interesting because we were exactly what you wouldn't see selling, right? It's not what you would have thought. But we were, in terms of revenue, right around 12 and a half million. And so total employee count back then, probably 68 to 70 at the time we closed. And our run rate now is just under $40 million for this coming year.
So 12.5 to 40 million.
In less than 5 years.
So that's really good though. I mean, because you go from 12.5 million, about 70 employees. Now you're at 40 million with just under double of what you had in 2009. I mean, that's the math pencils out on that. Like, that's really good. You guys went further in 5 years, almost what, 2.5 times ish is growth in 5 years that you did in 80 years before that.
Exactly the point of the capital.
If you had to compare the value of your stock that you held in Bell Anderson in 2016 to the value of the stock that you now hold in Acrisure in 2022. Is that really even a comparison?
It's not. Stock price of 5-1 of 17 to the stock price of now, well over 400%, not including an 8% compounding dividend. And so from that time, I mean, we're probably looking at just in this 5-year term from the original Bell Anderson equity to where I sit now, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 times. I mean, it's incredible.
Welcome to the Insurance Stream. I'm your host, Abe Bowling, talking today to Jim Hunt with Bell Anderson. They are a big player out of the Pacific Northwest area. Seattle, Washington is where they're based. They were acquired in an unlikely series of events years ago by Acrisure. We heard from Acrisure on one of our previous podcasts about how they go around looking for the best of the best. And they're looking for, you know, strategic partners for long-term growth. And, you know, Bell Anderson didn't know it, but they were looking for a strategic partner for long-term growth too. And, you know, they were 80 years old when they got acquired, approximately. And they have grown more in the 5 years since the acquisition took place than they did the whole first 80 years of the business. It's really an absolutely incredible story. We were totally thrilled to have Jim here on the podcast with us and excited to hear about how, you know, the partnership with Acrisure literally changed everything for Bell Anderson. So we will dive right into the interview with Jim Hunt right after this.
Are you an insurance agent needing access to more carriers? Insurance Professionals offers agents instant access to top national home, auto, commercial, and life carriers. Our free multi-rater allows you to quote all lines of insurance with one data entry process, and quotes are available instantly. Our program provides direct carrier access to agents, so there is no middleman underwriters to wait on. Simply quote your insureds with our free multi-rater, pick the quote you want, and log into the carrier to bind directly on their website. We charge no upfront or monthly access fees. Get started today at becomeaninsurancepro.com. That's becomeaninsurancepro.com.
Okay, I'm here with Jim Hunt of Bell Anderson. Jim started with Bell Anderson in 1995 as a broker. He worked his way up to becoming the CEO of Bell Anderson in 2009. We were talking a little bit before the show. I've been around. I was originally from the Pacific Northwest. So I've heard of you guys. I know who you are. And a large agency, lots of policyholders, long history in the Pacific Northwest. You know, great company. And we're excited to hear your story today, Jim.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. So walk me back, you know, 1995. So it sounds like, you know, you graduated from UW, took a job. And for those listening that aren't from the Pacific Northwest, University of Washington up there in Seattle, you took a job with an insurance company. And then what made you segue first from insurance company to insurance agent?
Yeah, so I had a great run with Great American Insurance in both Seattle, the Twin Cities, and a little bit out of Cincinnati. And I, you know, most people coming out of college just don't know what the industry is. And I certainly didn't either. Certainly didn't know what an insurance broker was. And then it became my entire job to learn everything about them, serve their needs, figure out what their customers want. And it didn't take long for me to figure out, hey, I could probably do that. There's a great amount of flexibility there. I was out in the Twin Cities territory when, so my job was basically marketing to brokers, but also underwriting and quoting up policies and helping them sell. And so I remember we had a 26 location account that I was helping a broker out of the Twin Cities, drove all the way out to Sioux Falls, South Dakota to help them make the pitch. Basically, I did the entire sale and, you know, their agency walked away with $75,000 in commissions and I got a thank you windbreaker. So that was kind of the moment of, oh, I get
I'm in the wrong line of work here.
I understand the game now. So, so that was it. I was really looking for a moment to find an agency where I'd have an opportunity, not just to build a book of business, but to find myself into a leadership role. And Bell Anderson just fit all of those things for me in 1995. I called on the agency, really liked the people. There was just a good opportunity for really anybody that wanted to work really, really hard to put themselves in an equity position and really excel.
Sure. And then, so you came into the agency as a broker, 1995. How long did it take before you were able to start acquiring stock?
You know, right away. That was one of the things that I really liked about what my predecessors had put together was they really wanted every producer to have equity in their pocket so that everybody had skin in the game and understood kind of how this worked. And it was a very progressive play that they did. And what they did was they had a 52-62 deal. So for those that are still independent out there, I'd recommend this highly. So at 52, you couldn't acquire any more stock. Didn't mean you have to retire. You didn't have to leave your book, anything else. It's just you couldn't acquire any more stock. And at 62, you had to divest. And that was selling back to the corporation. So just as you could buy in with cash or on a 10-year note payable to the corporation, so also you would know and the agency could plan for anybody turning 62, your 10-year note would start. So there was always a perpetuation of stock in the agency. It's what, you know, my predecessors wanted to see happen when there was just a Bell and just an Anderson. Mm-hmm. A number of, you know, of other guys and gals came in and it was, you know, five or six of them. And that became eventually 14 of us that all had equity stakes everybody kind of understood the rules of the game, that there would be a moment in time just by the fact that people would age out, that the stock would move back into the corporation. And I, knowing that, I saw that there would be an opportunity down the road.
For sure. How, just for those listening, because I know you guys are substantial players in the Pacific Northwest. How many producers do you guys have? How big of a book of business are you guys working with? Tell us more about Bell Anderson.
You bet. So the agency, going back to 2017 at the time of the Acrisure transaction, we were in terms of revenue, right around $12.5 million. And so total employee count back then, probably 68 to 70 at the time we closed. Large books of business, both in small business and in large, you name it, big personal lines book. So we look like most other agencies, just at a larger scale. The real story is then since that time, with Acrisure's ability to, you know, be a capital partner for us and let us kind of do what we've always done, which is, you know, grow organically, but also acquire agencies. And so we've done 14 transactions in the Pacific Northwest since May of 2017. And our run rate now is just under $40 million for this coming year.
So 12.5 to 40 million.
In less than 5 years.
That's incredible.
And so total employee count, probably about 150 employees now. And of that, probably about 30 are, you know, full-time sales and production.
So that's really good though. I mean, because you go from 12.5 million, about 70 employees. Now you're at 40 million with just under double of what you had in 2009. I mean, that's, the math pencils out on that. Like that's really good.
It is, and it's a testament to the partnership of what we've got going with Acrisure, and We have a great team internally to help build this out. And then with our brand, we've got a big reach in the Pacific Northwest, but most of the folks here are doing business. It's Bell Anderson Agency, Inc., DBA, their own name. So there's a lot of folks that you wouldn't know that are really Bell Anderson or that are even Acrisure. We've just always said it's got to be good for both parties to want to put that name forward, and it's up to you. So there's a lot of autonomy that we've created, both that Acrisure has given us, but also that we've given to agency partners we work with.
Perfect. How long has Bell Anderson been around?
1929. We're knocking on the door of 100 years. So
cool.
It's crazy.
So 1929 all the way up to 2009. So you're talking, 80 years.
Yep.
You're got this run, right, of this basically semi-privately held company in Seattle, Washington area. Yep. What made you think it's a good idea to change the business plan of what we've been doing for the past almost 100 years? And I mean, obviously it was a good call, right? But at the time, how did you know that that was a good idea?
You know, we said, no, this was not the plan. And it's really interesting because we were exactly what you wouldn't see selling, right? It's not what you would have thought. Because of that internal perpetuation, that's kind of handled. There's it's not two guts, it's not a Bell and an Anderson at, in their mid 60s going, gosh, we have to sell. Our average weighted owner age at the time we did the transaction was 42. So we were a young, agency by age, though not by, how long Bell Anderson's been around, but
sure.
Because we perpetuated, we had a long runway. And so, we have a track record of organic growth. We've got a young ownership group that has a bright future ahead of it. And so all those things just made us that much more attractive to the outside world. But we weren't for sale. Absolutely 100%. Our board was dead set against it. And we were ready to kind of just run off and keep doing what we were doing for the next 20, 25 years.
So then Acrisure approached you and said, hey.
So then Acrisure approached us. I met a guy named Greg Williams. And out of the gate, really liked Greg, liked the story. I think, it was completely different than what you hear from, a number of other acquirers out there, in that, the worst thing to do with an acquired asset is change everything, right? So here's your new automation system. Here's your producer comp. We're going to announce the deal to all of the world, whether you like it or not. And so those are all of the things that you kind of say, wait a second, this is different. We don't want to announce it. We don't have to, because we're still us. And, our agency automation system is the same one we had prior to sale. Our business cards haven't changed, though we could change them if we wanted to. So I liked the story of where it was going. And really what turned our heads was, what was happening with Acrisure, that the equity was really moving in a manner that we didn't really think we could do in 1,000 years. And that's been true. So when we met Greg, I think the first time was somewhere, I think Acrisure was around $120 million in revenue. So, about a 10X over what we were, but I felt that was a bit of a risk to sell into something at that time. And by the time we said yes, 18 months later, I think it was close to $1 billion. And so once again, it's just one of those aha moments, should have said yes back a little bit further back, but all of the things that Greg has put forward as to what not to do with an acquired asset, has just rung true. At 5 years into this, I can sit here and tell folks that, like, really, this is exactly as advertised. We are who we are. Our day is our own. There are some certain things that you've got to do because you did sell, but for the most part, it doesn't feel that way. And so we've got access to unlimited capital to go buy new agencies to help those come under us, or just help them be part of Acrisure. We give people the choice. Do you want to be part of what we have locally here? tagging onto our contracts and our capabilities, or hey, you can just do your own thing. Either way, we've been involved in this. So, it's been a big head turner for us as far as, you know, where we thought we'd be. And it's miles ahead. The wealth moment that, in 2017 was great, but it's really where we thought, in the longer term, this would be, and it's already surpassed that. What AcroSure has become, absolutely beyond, where we thought we'd be.
Yeah, it's really mind blowing what those guys have done over there and gals. I mean, the interchangeable. But you look at a company like AcroSure, and you're like, it's just incredible the amount of the stuff that they put together, and then the way that the profitability and their EBITDA growth and all sorts of things have gone. So an agency out there that's not a $10-12 million agency. Obviously by coming on board and selling to somebody that's much, much larger, you're going to get larger market access. You're going to get, more advertising resources. You're going to get human resources that you didn't have available to you before. Walk me through, what was the pitch? Like, hey, Jim, we're AcroSure and we want to buy Bell Anderson. You're like, you're crazy, right? At first. But, because what resources could they possibly have brought to the table that Bell Anderson didn't already have?
No, great question. The thing that for a lot of the reasons that we were attractive to Greg and the team back in 2017, mm-hmm. The other one was just scarcity. There was nobody in the Northwest for AcroSure. They were still looking at a transaction. I think they'd just done one up in Anchorage, nothing in Oregon, nothing in Washington, and nothing in Idaho. And so we were really a platform for AcroSure to be able to springboard into the growth that they've done. But what we saw, other than obviously, great economics,
right.
was just the fact that there was, and it's a tagline within the company, but there's no limits, right? So there are markets that we didn't have access to. There were, other capabilities. Though we were in the employee benefit space, we wanted to be better than we were. And so this allowed us to do two things. One, we were able to go out and acquire agencies in the EB space that were frankly better than what we were doing. So we just added to our arsenal here locally by doing that and aggregating up to now, what was just under $2 million in revenue for us at the time of sale is now, approaching $12 million. That's substantial. But more than that is then these national resources. So our employee benefits producers all of a sudden, have this just amazing access to, compliance, to other automation that we'd never had a sniff at, to other brokers and this huge network of people saying, hey, what if, I have this account, I've never done anything like this before. All of a sudden you put this out to 2000, employees at the time and there's answers. I can help. I have, a TPA here in the Northeast that specializes in what you do. I have an ERISA attorney that can help you out on that. So what you see is just a lot of connectivity between agency partners in saying, I have the market you don't have, I can help you get to there, or I just have, I do what you're talking about. I'm deep into trucking, though you might have the same market, you don't want to, sometimes, you don't know what you don't know, but there's experts out there within AcroSure to go leverage.
So just the community of it, the whole thing that's awesome. Tell me about what is it for you, because I'm assuming by the time you sold in 2017, you had a decent amount of shares of Bell Anderson. You're probably a significant stockholder. What was it like for you? I mean, did they roll out stock for the folks that were shareholders in the new corporation that they created? They obviously probably cashed out some of it. What did that deal look like for the owners of the Bell Anderson?
Yeah, it was pretty stock heavy. Something that we wanted, and the reason we were doing this was an equity trade. We Bell Anderson stock was doing just fine.
Yeah.
But man, AcroSure is on a rocket ship, and we wanted we wanted to be part of that. So we had really it was almost a three-party deal because we had an ESOP as well, which it was sitting in a minority position. And that had to take all cash. It couldn't take any stock. So the balance of us as individual owners ended up, so typically, you know, you see around 25% equity in deals, at least at the time from Acrisure. And so that 25% had to slide over into the individuals. And so it became much more of a 60-40 play for each of us. So our deal, you know, is really, you know, it's betting on that second bite to a large extent. And it's, you know, from a dividend, from capital appreciation, and from the projected trajectory of where this is going, all of that, our second bite will be larger than the first. And that's unbelievable.
For sure. And you said something that I haven't heard a lot of yet. And that is that, you know, you guys now have access to capital to go do the acquisitions that you want to do. So you're in a position, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're in a position where you're Bell Anderson, you're out, you're acquiring folks, you're growing organically, you're, you know, doing the grind daily, and then you get acquired. A lot of that still, you know, stays the same, but now you've got more access to more capital, maybe a team of acquirers that can, you know, be employed for you and doing some research and stuff like that. Is that kind of how all that went? Is now you've just supercharged your ability to acquire? Because I think that's a lot of people are going, no, I want to acquire right now, and then I want to be acquired. But what you're saying is you guys are doing both.
Exactly. You know, it's fun because the you know, the folks on the M&A team go from, you know, being on the other side of a table to now all of a sudden they're working with and for you,
right?
Is the big change. And so we had a proclivity to buy agencies prior to sale. This just put steroids to it. So, you know, we have an ability to help agencies put a pro forma together that have never done it before,
right?
You know, to kind of spoon feed a little bit as to here's what, you know, the process looks like. We've been through it. We've done, you know, 14 transactions post sale. So, you know, we've got experience that really not a lot of folks have. And oftentimes it'll be, gosh, I don't think this is the best deal for you. I think you need to keep doing what you're doing. Or, you know, the timing just doesn't seem right. You know, we know what we're looking for as far as, you know, agencies that are showing organic growth, that have a good margin, that have a good story. We want that to be, you know, accretive for everybody. And, you know, it's knowing the game and knowing and understanding kind of what works and what doesn't.
Sure. So 5 years post acquisition, you guys have acquired 14 agencies under Bell Anderson.
Yeah. All of them are under our corporate FEIN number, and they are us.
That's awesome. The 5 years prior to acquisition, how many agencies did you guys acquire?
The five prior, pretty close, about nine.
About nine. Wow.
From just varying books of business to, you know, full on agencies.
Okay. How have your daily responsibilities changed since 2017?
Boy, a lot. You know, it's going from, you know, you're worried about, you know, the income statement and the balance sheet, mm-hmm. to then just really worrying about the income statement. You know, the things that are, that you sit there as an agency owner and you know, you can horribleize really well, right? Gosh, what could end us? Is it the E&O claim? is it the big Cascadia subduction zone event that's going to end all of our clients? And what do we do? It takes that existential risk, you know, and the scare of all of that, and it just takes it away. So immediately, you know, your shoulders drop about 3 inches after you sell, because just you have just a giant, you know, partner behind you that's sitting there saying, "We got this." Mm-hmm. So when you're doing a trade, you're also de-risking, right? So you're doing this trade to kind of take yourself out of those day-to-day, you know, I'm signing personally for this loan, you know, though you may have corporate indemnity, it's just your corporation that's, you know, again, at the time, 12 million plus in the Northwest. Now it's, you know, something approaching $4 billion. So, mm-hmm. So my day-to-day is different in that, you know, I'm not worried about the bank line. I'm not worried about, you know, looking at the balance sheet anymore, because it really exists in a different place, and it's others' responsibility. So It's all about organic growth. It's all about helping find other agencies to bring in, but it's being a good partner to other agency partners. So I would say probably a third to half my week is just helping other Acrisure agencies, whether it's, hey, you know, we don't have access to this market, or, you know, we're thinking about coming into Acrisure. What do you, you know, I've, you know, heard you're a good resource to talk to. So we just get calls kind of out of the blue with both from the acquisition side, but also from, you know, current agency partners that are looking for help and advice, you know, what to do, how to do it. How do we make one and one equal three?
Sure. If you could give an agency owner one piece of advice getting ready to go into the acquisition process, because, you know, that's what we're kind of discovering here, right? Is that acquisitions, because I think a lot of people think about acquisitions as an exit, but I think that the world of acquisitions has expanded so much to where it's really less and less of an exit and more of a growth strategy. So if you could, you know, somebody that either doesn't think that they should be looking at it, or somebody that's starting the process of thinking about it, what would your advice to them be?
You know, the biggest thing is going to be this industry is massively changing right now before our eyes. And, you know, when we're talking about fintech, when we're talking about, you know, agencies and technology are on a really fast track through AI, through all of these other things that are coming. And what I would say is, you know, if you don't have a capital partner now, I would seriously, seriously look at finding one. Acrisure, you know, in our world has been the best answer. And I would tell you, I think it still is for anybody out there. There's a lot of folks trying to emulate what Acrisure is doing. But, you know, we're kind of the proof of the pudding that it's worked and we've grown as much. But, I would say to an agency owner that's seriously starting to contemplate it, you know, don't make assumptions. I hear oftentimes to folks that are sellers that eventually become sellers, you know, I always thought this, or I just assumed we were not worth what we were worth, or I thought I needed to grow for 5 years before I would be able to get sold and have a good deal. With what the economics are right now, take those blinders off, but also take the delimiters off your engine, because, it's incredible. I mean, if you look at the transactions that we've done, we've gone down to, you know, small, just books of business of $200,000 or $300,000, you know, up to agencies that are five and six here in the Northwest. But each of them had a reason and a story and a place to be here, to the point where, you know, we've more than tripled the revenue, and our margin has expanded by 12 points. So it's, you know, each of those have added a flavor into something much, much larger. And we've done now that for Acrisure as well. But that's the biggest piece of advice I would say is, you know, don't limit yourself. Don't limit your thoughts as to who you are and what you represent, because what you have likely is a very valuable asset. And that, you know, don't let the timing get in the way.
Sure. If you had to compare the value of your stock that you held in Bell Anderson in 2016 to the value of the stock that you now hold in Acrisure in 2022, is that really even a comparison?
It's not. I mean, so you look at the original trade from what our internal, because we had an ESOP, we had a value every year.
Right.
So that had to be done. And that was, you know, divided by three, discounted by 10% because we're, you know, it's a minority held agency. So we knew our internal value was much, much less than the external. So from there to here, pretty substantial out of the gate. But I can just tell you from where we, from the stock price of 5/1 of 17 to the stock price of now, well over 400%, not including an 8% compounding dividend. And so from that time, I mean, we're probably looking at just in this 5-year term from the original Bell Anderson equity to where I sit now, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 times. I mean, it's incredible. And that's what I mean by the economics. You just sometimes don't understand what you're really worth. And again, we had a card carrying CFO. I attended Marsh Berry. We knew what the market was. And even then we were surprised.
Yeah.
by, yo, gosh, I didn't think our EBITDA was actually that high. Our pro forma is higher than we knew.
Right.
Boy, the market was hotter for us than we understood. And that's 5 years ago. And I will just tell you, it's better now than it was then. So,
oh boy,
you're seeing sure. it. So
really is. Well, and I think that's cool is, you know, through this merger and acquisition series that we've done, we started off talking to Acrisure and, you know, these other folks that, you know, do acquisitions and buyers and what are you looking for and stuff like that. And now we heard them saying all along, you know, that, you know, hey, people that don't think that they're ready to sell or people that don't think that you know, they want to do this, they should still look at it, right? Just to know what an option is. As a business person, it's always a good idea to know what your options are and to examine everything. But really, now that we're diving in on the other side of the transaction and we're starting to talk to people who have sold, I mean, this truth is like speaking more evidently to me because, you know, and we heard that from one of the guys, I think it was Optimum Performance Solutions. It was an episode, you know, several episodes back sure. where he said, you know, people look at the growth post acquisition and they go, gosh, I never should have sold because if I had sold, I would have, you know, kept 100% of the stock. It was like, you never would have got there if you wouldn't have sold. No. And so, yeah, you know, you look at, I mean, and this is such a great example. You look at, you know, 80-year history up to 12.5 million, which is nothing to sneeze at. What, just out of curiosity, so 12.5 million was just the revenue. What was the book of business size on that? I mean, you got to be pushing 100 million, right?
Well, yeah, over 100 million.
Over 100 million.
Again, a lot of benefits premium. So again, that's lower commission spread, but premium's large, right? So
yeah. So I mean, now you guys. Sold,
yeah, well over 100 million.
So now you guys are, you know, somewhere between half a billion and a billion in premium.
Yeah. You take right? 401k, you take all the benefit stuff we're doing, all the annuities,
right.
You know, all of it, you add it through. It's amazing. Yeah.
You guys went further in 5 years, almost what, 2.5 times ish is the growth in 5 years that you did in 80 years before that.
Exactly the point of the capital. And that's what I meant by, you know, don't limit yourself because right. you know, the other side. So, and the economics part of it is great. And I would say equally important is the fact that the autonomy has remained.
Sure.
Right. You know, it's one thing to sell it and then you've kind of put your soul to rent. But there are buyers like Acrisure, that have figured this out that independent agencies are fiercely independent for a reason. And if we can be a capital partner to that agency and give them the resources that they need to continue to do it, you know, many of them will shine just as Mel Anderson has done.
Sure. Jim, thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. And best of luck to you guys in the future, but it doesn't sound like you might need very much.
All good. Thank you so much for having me on.
Appreciate it, Jim. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Easy.